This is the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Thank you for your ears today. We appreciate those this morning. We'll ask you to hold your phone call for the top of the hour news. However, you want to jot a phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. Our guest today from the Grants Pass City Council, first time in as counselors today, is Indra Nichols and Seth Benham and Indra Nichols. My apologies. Indra, am I getting that name correct?
Yes, Indra Nicholas.
Nicholas. Okay. All right. Let's start with you, Indra. First of all, this is your first time here as an elected counselor. You've been here as a candidate before. How's the learning curve been since you've been in the hot seat?
Yes, there's a huge learning curve. One thing I was thinking about this morning was being a business owner. When things go wrong or you need information, I mean, you can turn things around quickly. You just look at the problem, do a little research, and you have the ability to change things quickly and see if it works, if it doesn't work, adjust, change again. So what I'm learning with government is it is such a slow process. So there are so many things I would like to get done and do, but it just takes forever to get any momentum to get things done. So that's kind of my biggest learning curve, I would say.
All right. Is it what you thought it was going to be in terms of time permitted or time committed to the council and your duties as a counselor? The extracurricular activities that we don't see.
Right. Thanks for asking that, because it's been a full-time job, so I didn't expect that. I knew initially it would be a lot of time just to learn things, but there is a lot behind the scenes if you really want to be involved. I guess you could do it minimal and just, you know, browse the packet, but what I'm learning is to really understand things, you have to do a lot of research and study. And what I really am big on doing is talking with people in the community. So I really appreciate getting feedback and seeing what people think on issues and what we're doing and their ideas on what we should be doing that we're not. So that takes a lot of time on the phone, talking with people and meeting with people. I'm also on the Tourism Advisory Committee. So there are different things to be involved with. A lot. You could do 16 hours a day if you wanted to.
You mentioned perusing the packet, going over it casually, but that packet sometimes can be intimidating. Well, hundreds of pages.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's always pretty big to very big. And the staff does a really nice job of summarizing what's going on, the actions, what we're voting on. But then underneath are all the specific pages and detailed pages. And so in addition to the presentations we get at the city council meetings and workshops, there's a lot of reading to it. In addition to that, however, and especially being new, there's a lot to learn. But even after reading the pages, there are questions. And so then you have to go to people and ask questions about it. So there's more follow-up, even more than just reading the materials.
All right. We'll continue that thought in a moment or two. First of all, I want to get to Seth. Welcome. This is your first time here because you've been appointed to the council here. So you really asked for the job and got it. Give me a little bit of your background, Seth.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me this morning. My background, I mean, I was born and raised here in Grants Pass. Went to Grants Pass High School. Started my business 10 years ago after I graduated high school. So I've owned a marketing agency for the last 10 years. Here in Grants Pass, but you know, we have clients locally and nationwide that we work with. We have a small team, and so yeah, that's kind of my day job, I guess, in a sense. And then about I don't know, a year a little over a year ago, I got involved with what is now Main Street Grants Pass, which I'm sure some people have started to hear more about. And so that's been a lot of what I've been doing the past year, is just working on forming that, nonprofit now, and the board, which is, I think, as of next Monday will be officially formed, which will be really awesome. And so, you know, that whole program is going to be great for downtown. And I don't, you know, if you want me to go more into that, I can. Basically, you know, we're focused on revitalization, bringing in grant money for downtown business owners, and kind of just, you know, building up the downtown community. You know, it's obviously a huge tourism asset for Grants Pass.
Was that the motivating factor that caused you to apply for the vacant seat?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's one of them, right? I think just serving in that capacity for the last year, you know, really, I don't know, it just got me kind of back in the mode of just wanting to give back to the community. You know, I started 10 years ago. I spent a lot of time in the beginning, you know, just out networking on the ground, you know, in Grants Pass, all over the Rogue Valley for the first 4 or 5 years of my business. And then, you know, COVID happened and that kind of just vanished for a while. But now that it's back, I want to just get re-involved, you know. Like I said, I've born and raised here, lived here my whole life. I have two kids and a wife. And so, you know, it's important to focus my time on this area. You know, I think when I applied and did my interview for council, you know, one thing I said towards the end of my interview was that, you know, I've had the privilege of traveling a decent amount for work across the country and outside of the country a few times. And, you know, every time I go somewhere, it's nice to go, get out of town. But I feel like, you know, coming back to Grants Pass, there's really no place like it, just with the scenery and the community overall, right? So, obviously, we're facing some difficult times right now in certain aspects. But, you know, I want to try to focus on the positive of what Grants Pass has to offer.
All right. How long have you been on the council now? What, 6 weeks?
I believe 6 weeks is about right.
Right. Is it what you thought it would be? I just asked Ender about the learning curve and the amount of work put in. I'm assuming it's going to be similar.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been great so far. You know, I think I had to miss a couple meetings for a vacation I had planned, so I haven't had as much time on the dais as some people have, but it's been good. You know, I knew getting into it what it was going to be like, I think, for the most part. You know, and I'm already so engaged with just the community, with just everything else I'm doing, so kind of fit in, right? And I have the luxury of being able to kind of control my schedule on a day-to-day basis and what I'm doing, which is it's really important, right? Some people don't have that luxury. But, you know, like Indra said, I really enjoy the meeting with people, getting to know people in the community. And, you know, I'm always open for that, right? I believe that to make an informed decision on anything, right, I need to understand what people think, you know, politics aside. And so that's really important for me.
Do you have a specific goal? And I'm going to assume part of it has to do with revitalization of downtown Grants Pass. Is that an overriding goal for you?
I don't know if it's an overriding goal. I think it's a goal. And I think, right, like I'm involved in downtown, right? I think it's just from the nature of what I do and just what I've been doing the last 10 years. But, you know, obviously there's more than just downtown Grants Pass, right? Downtown is just a really solid tourism asset. You know, we do have a great downtown. So preserving that and focus on how we can improve that is important, as well as outside of downtown as well, right? Just all the other businesses, you know, bringing in businesses as well. You know, we've lost some in the past, unfortunately, but how can we improve, you know, what we have here in Grants Pass to draw some larger businesses from out of the area to come move here and relocate?
All right. I'm going to go back to Indra here for just a moment. Did you have a goal now that you're on a sitting councilor right now that you'd like to achieve in your turn?
Well, yes. At first, I'd like to say I'm very excited to have Seth on council, a fellow entrepreneur whose passion is business as well. And he does a lot with downtown. And he mentioned my business is outside of downtown. So I think we complement each other. And I'm a big advocate for businesses outside of town, which I think are sometimes neglected, quite frankly, by our city, because the focus is, as it should be, mostly on downtown, but we have to look all over. So passion for business, economic growth. I mentioned at our last city council meeting, we really, because of comments from the community about cleaning up downtown and making it looks dirty, and so we're starting to talk about that and what can we do to clean it up, to make it look nicer. Would love to have more destination businesses, and they don't necessarily have to be downtown, but that draw people in. So we have the jet boats, which is a huge draw, but what else can we do destination-wise to bring people in? So just looking for economic growth. When you look downtown or all over at the number of vacant buildings in our community, and how can we get more economic development in our community? That would be my goal.
If you're going out to recruit, well, for an economic development situation downtown or throughout the city, mm-hmm. Of course, you've got to deal with the headline here in Grants Pass, and that's the homeless situation, and of course, injunction after injunction. We're in the second one right now that has the city police's hands tied and certain criteria laid out in front of the council in order to get that injunction lifted. Do we have a plan, or do either one of you have your own individual ideas of where the council should go now?
So I wondered when that would come up.
It had to come up.
Here we are.
Yeah. That is the overriding factor. How do we have economic growth and successful businesses when you have what you see on our streets, which are homeless people everywhere? So I live downtown pretty much right off of downtown. My business is the North End. And so I know just driving the mile from my house to my business, it's depressing. I see at least six homeless people or more and trash. So obviously we have to solve that problem. I don't mean when I say get rid of, people jump to the conclusion you just want them out. No, I don't mean that at all. We need to solve the issue to get them help. And I think that's the ultimate goal for myself and other council members is, there are people within our community that need a safety net, that need help, and I want to help those people. Do I believe that I know there's talk about acquiring a Vine Street, which is a property the city doesn't own, and setting up a giant homeless encampment with all the from low barrier tents all the way up to transitional housing and workforce, and have all the nonprofits work together in there. That's up at the north end of town in my ward. And so I feel like I need to listen to my constituents and talk with them. And from what I'm hearing, many are very concerned about that because the goal, from what I'm reading, is 500 homeless people in one area up there. To me, that's not the way to do it. And even the injunction says we need 60 more spaces to get the injunction off. So that would be
total of what, 1.2 acres, something like that was?
Up at Vine Street or?
An area equivalent to what was just shut down.
Oh, right. To hold 60 tent sites mm-hmm. like that because that was what J Street and 6th Street or 7th Street together held. So we have to go back to that capacity. So by opening those two campsites originally last year, we set the precedent of how many sites we now need to maintain. So, I mean, you just learn going forward. Was that a mistake? Should we have done less then? I don't know. But we're looking to get that injunction off quickly because once we get that injunction off, we can enforce again getting them out of all the parks. So right now only Riverside and Reinhardt are cleared to go, but they're back in all the other parks. So that's the first goal. And then the second goal is, for me, I would like a managed site, a smaller one that's doable with fewer than 500 or 600 or 800 beds. I would like a managed site for community members. I do think we need to take care of our own people. So people from our community that need help, that maybe the disabled, the homeless that can't afford housing prices here, that probably won't be able to make it on their own, possibly ever. I'm forgetting helping them with permanent housing in a nice way, not the pallet shelters one after the other and hundreds of them. I would like to give a nice place for them that any neighborhood community wouldn't mind having them in their community, because that's the problem. No community area wants these tents or huts, or there's always problems around them. So I say we focus on the population we really want to help, and then we do something with that. And our nonprofits have stepped up in that regard to help somewhat. So I see them stepping up even more in the future to help out with beds. And I know OnTrack is going to have more capacity for treatment too, and we do need that. But the drug treatment is a separate issue than people who aren't on drugs and just need a helping hand. And that's who I would like to focus on.
All right. Seth, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, sure. This topic is obviously, it's not a fun one, right? I don't think anyone enjoys this topic. I think one thing I will say though is that, you know, Grants Pass is in the spotlight, right? We're in the national news. And it is what it is. But I think, however, this is a national problem, right? This isn't just a Grants Pass issue. So I think that's one thing, you know, as community members, you know, take a step back and at least understand that, you know, this is a problem that's existing in most of the country. So with that being said, you know, yeah, there's steps we have to take. And so, you know, as she mentioned, there's this Vine Street opportunity, which again, I know will be coming up here shortly, in more discussion. And so, yeah, you know, I think involving the community as much as we can, I think, you know, politics aside, this is an issue that I think everyone wants to solve, right? And everyone has a different opinion, and that's okay. And so how can we come together and figure out what that is, right? I'm all for help, you know, and I think too, you know, that having the compassion to help is what we need to do. There's a lot of different people prescribed to a lot of different methodologies in this, clearly. And so I don't think any one thing is going to be the answer. It's more of just, okay, what can we do one step at a time to really bring this together? And I will say too that I believe that all of council is on board to take the right steps forward, whether, you know, people want to believe that or not. I for sure am, right? I'm on council to help figure out how we can, you know, at least take a step forward in this issue and start solving it. Whatever that may mean right now, I'm not 100% sure. You know, obviously this injunction is not ideal. Although I will say that it's better than it could have been, based on the original plans and the original injunction that was proposed. So, you know, that's one way to look at it. And so I think there's a way that we can get out of it quickly, seems like, based on the judge's decisions last week. But yeah, you know, it's not an issue that anyone wants to have to approach right now, unfortunately, but it is front and center, and it's something that, you know, I think as council members, we will listen to the community as best as possible. And that's what I want to do, right? I want to have an open door. I'm not here to make a political decision on this. It's just what's the best for the community, and how can we come together to solve this issue and have compassion, right? And really help these people in a way that will help them long term, not just short term.
Well, we'll continue to look for those answers when we come back right after this word.
Don't stress.
Welcome back, everyone. Two city councilors are in session today here, Seth Benham and Indra Nicholas. Once again, we're talking about, of course, the homeless problem and the camping problem. And I've heard, Indra, I said, you want to see this done quickly. Seth, same thing, and we're pointing to that. Is that upon Vine Street, the area that we're looking at? Up
well,
on the north end?
That's one proposal, I think, that's going to come up. There's a lot to be done with that. And so
sounds expensive.
It's very expensive. And it's very, I just think it's a too big of a complex. I mean, I just don't want to see that many people there in one area, like a one-size-fits-all thing is what it's looking like, and I'm not for that.
Should that place come to fruition, would that close the other two parks downtown?
And that's up in the air, so we're not exactly sure, because here's the problem. What do you do with people that refuse help? And that's what I think we've been running into all along. So even if you have beds or work programs or transitional, people are free to say, I don't want that. And the city, my understanding is that the city is still then going to be required to provide them a, quote, resting site. And so that's one of the things we really need to hash out to see if that is the case. But we definitely need to get the sites out of our downtown area. I would like to see whatever we do moved outside of the downtown and business district and our urban renewal district for sure. So that would be a goal of mine, is to get them out of those areas. And then I guess I would say I'm for limited government. We mentioned this during the break. I think the government should mostly get out of the way in almost all circumstances and let the private sector work, let free enterprise work, because the government is more expensive, more and slow to do anything. And I hear a lot from people, they're angry because they're trying to pay their mortgage, they're trying to pay their bills, everything's expensive, gas is expensive, and then they're looking at the city, why would you spend all this money on people, the homeless people, when we need help too, and we don't get it. I go to work every day, I work two jobs, and then so to see the city spend their taxpayer dollars on these issues, it does not make them happy. So we need to balance that for sure.
All right. Seth, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah. One thing I will say, you know, about getting this done quickly, I do want to make it known that I want to get it done properly, right? So I don't know what quick means, but I know that we need to do the due diligence to make sure that it's at least going to be as successful as possible, right? I don't want to just put a Band-Aid on it and then in a year from now we're back in another lawsuit or whatever that looks like. So, yeah, it's tough, you know, and I think I'm you know, some of the other things regarding, you know, I'm curious too, if we open up a site, does that mean we still have to have these other two sites? And that's, I'm curious to be advised by the legal counsel on that and what that looks like, right? Because I think that's going to be something the community's not going to want to see, of, you know, another site that can hold more, maybe potentially, but then we still have to have the other two. So it's tough, right? And, you know, I obviously, you know, a lot of this comes from the state, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things.
So this is government controlling government.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, our hands are tied. You know, the other thing I'm curious about is this proposed shelter funding that Tina Kotek recently proposed, I think last month. What does that mean, right? You know, we're all taxpayers here in Grants Pass, and some of that goes to the city and a lot of that goes to the state and also the federal government, right? So how, you know, if we can get access to whatever that money looks like, I don't think anyone wants to pay for this, but, you know, the state's going to do it anyways. So how can we get that money and make sure that we're able to do this with that money instead of taking more money from, you know, the local community members here in the city of Grants Pass? You know, because as you know, we're already underfunded in police and fire and all these other areas. So I don't think it's fair to have to pay more as a local community member for this issue, especially if it's, you know, really a state problem that is just so happens to be falling in our lap right now.
Is this northern lot also paved? Because that seems to be a sticking point here.
What was that?
Is the lot that we're looking up north on the north end of town paved?
I'm not 100% sure. I believe there is sections of it, yes. I have not toured it personally yet. I'm going to very soon. So I think there is some portions of it that are ADA accessible, right? And so again, it comes back down, at least for me, is what does this site mean? How much is it going to cost? Who's going to run it too, right? The city doesn't want to run it, right? We don't want to run it. That's not our plans mm-hmm. in any way, shape, or form. So if that's not the case, then who's going to do it? And I'm also, I want to see these proposals of this is how we're going to do it. This is how they're going to fund it. Because again, I mean, you know, we could do it and put somebody in there and then it's a failure, right? And a year from now, who knows? So how it's just, that's why I said, you know, I want to be cautious with saying we want to get this done quickly. And I think that might mean a different speed for everyone.
Quickly in government terms could be years. Certainly months.
Yeah, I don't think years. Definitely not years. I would not be a proponent of that. But, you know, like so for saying like, you know, in the next 30 days, this thing's going to be up and running. I don't think that's realistically possible either. No. Just with, you know, reality of life and just how everything works. So, but just making sure that we do our due diligence and selecting the right nonprofits, whoever can really go in there and help and make a difference is going to be key.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Stay tuned. We'll have more after the top of the hour news.
Join the
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us this morning for the Tuesday Talk Show. If you have a question or comment for our guests, city councilors today, give us a call. 541-472-1270 is the number to call. 472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment directly to our guest today. City Councilors Seth Benham and Indra Nicholas. And once again, we've been talking about the big topic in this town, of course, is the homeless situation and the current injunction here and what we're going to do about it. And both of you have indicated you'd like to see the problem resolved quickly, and I think your constituents would endorse that. We'd like to see the problem solved quickly. We don't know what quickly means right now, but it means finding a place to put them and paying for that all falls into the same situation. So we've talked about the place up on North, I believe, just off Vine Street. That is a possibility. Indra, I believe you indicated that there's some other areas under consideration. Can you tell us about those?
Well, we did view like 11 before we decided to just go to the two sites. But I am pulling a list, and I asked the city manager of all the city-owned property. I believe we should use property we already own. If we're going to invest with a nonprofit to partner to support something they do, to lease to them, I don't know why we would buy a giant property at a great expense rather than using something we already own. So that's what I would like to investigate further. And then I will say that it's unfortunate that we have all this lawfare in our society today. It would have really been nice. We've just been on the council a short time, myself 6 months. It seems like a year, but it's been a short time. It'd be nice for people to come to the table and talk, because the council would have been willing to, of course, help the people with disabilities. If I'd known about the problem, we could have talked about and worked it out without the lawsuit. So to me, that's unfortunate. And Oregon's the only state, I believe, the only state that has this resting site mandate and law. And so other states and cities aren't dealing with it. So while they're dealing with homeless, they're not dealing with the mandated forcing communities to use their public city-owned properties to shelter and let people camp there for however long. So I think that's really been troublesome for us.
Question for both of you. Has Grants Pass become a target for this homeless situation that is nationwide? Are we the test city? It certainly feels like way, like we've got a tiger on our back. Once this injunction goes away, and soon at some time it will go away, regardless of what we do. Sometime it will go away and there'll be some action taken. But looking at history, there'll be another one following. What do we have to do to get that target off our back? Or is that a fair assessment?
It appears so. It appears so. And I know nationally people are looking at us nationally of what's going on because of the Supreme Court case that happened. So people, we are in the spotlight, and I agree. I don't know that you'll ever satisfy people who want to file lawsuits against you. So I don't know what you have to do to stop that from happening. And our state certainly isn't making it any easier for us to do that. The state is kind of opening the door to allowing people to file lawsuits against communities that just want to protect the residents and the taxpayers who live and work here.
Yeah. Seth, yeah. You said you've been traveling some. What's the reputation of Grants Pass?
I guess when I travel, I don't really hear too much, negative about Grants Pass, I wouldn't say. Although I've received some emails even in the recent week just from people around the nation that have seen us on the national news once again. And is it a targeted attack? That's a great question. I don't have the answers to that. Maybe.
Feels like it.
It definitely feels like it. One thing I will say, though, is there's been an initiative, this is recent, going around some local Facebook groups encouraging people to write to the White House as one. I think the more people that we can get to send in letters and just any kind of information about what's going on here to the White House, and also I would say even more so to the governor's office here in Oregon. Because again, I think a lot of this is a state issue, right? It's not a Grants Pass issue, and it's really a national issue. But I think
it's in our laps.
In our laps, and I don't think a lot of these people up in Salem really understand what's going on down here. Obviously we've got our local representative and senator who are doing the best they can. They understand it, but it's just, it's a tough situation, right? And it's not going to be solved overnight by any means, but I think I would highly recommend people reach out, and if we can get enough people, hopefully we can get some response back of like, okay, we're already in the national news, so.
in your short time, have you identified an area that you would like to see it move to? I ask Enra the same question. Is there a parcel out there that fits your descriptions?
I really haven't, right? I came in 6 weeks ago, so most of this is kind of predated me, right? So I'm kind of like just.
That's why you drew the short straw today.
Yeah. So I mean, the next step, right, is to take some more time to do due diligence and see what makes sense, right? I mean, Vine Street's an option. I don't think it's the only option. And so again, it comes down to, I want to see how this looks long-term. What does it look like to be successful? Because I don't want to rush in anything either that's going to end up a failure or really just not clean up town better than it already is, right? I don't think it's not going to go away. There's no getting rid of it, but we can definitely make it better. I even know prior to being on council, obviously I was doing the Main Street thing last year that, when J Street, although not an ideal situation, was happening, downtown was definitely cleaner than it is even now, right? And so I know I saw a difference with that. And again, not saying that J Street was the end all solution. It definitely was not. But that at least made downtown and Grants Pass appear to be cleaner in a sense. But again,
The J Street operation was going to be closed next month anyway.
Yeah.
Right. We just moved it ahead a little bit right now. Certainly it was not ideal, but it had enough space to accommodate and was readily available. And we closed it. It's done. It's gone away. But we still don't have an alternative to it. We've gone in with a decomposed granite trying to get an ADA-approved surface in there, and the judge says that's still not good enough, even though the ADA says it is. How much money did we spend on that? Where are we going with this? It's frustrating to not only your voters, but to every citizen out there, I'm sure.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, too, I want to make another comment that, this issue is a hard one, right? A lot of these people have mental illnesses or drug addiction. I would say a high majority, right? I don't know the exact statistics, but it's high, right? And those things are not – It's not something that just I think an average person can solve, right? You really need medical intervention. You need people that have the experience an understanding, right? Because if you're addicted to a substance, I mean, you can't just get off, right? There's a strategy behind it.
As I understand it, one of the homeless respondents in the lawsuit is addicted and was offered deflection and turned it down to take part in the lawsuit.
Right.
Indra said, you want to help our mm-hmm. local people. Mm-hmm. That's certainly noble and compassionate. But I also hear that a lot of these are not our people, and they're right. coming from other areas because this is not a bad place to be if you're homeless. Is that fair?
That's true. That's what I'm hearing. And we don't really know who we have out there, which is astounding to me after all this time and boots on the ground with nonprofits and our law enforcement. You really can't get an accurate number of who we have. Are they families with children, drug addicted? How many are mentally ill? How many are – you can't – I've suggested at the city council meeting bringing in an expert, a consultant on homeless, to actually – a neutral party to come in that's done this work in the past. I mentioned a specific person, but it could, I don't care. It could be anyone who has that expertise, because we're not getting it from here. And I would like to see who are the people we mainly need to serve. And from my understanding, once you start serving those people and not enabling the drug addicted problem, you have to be from here or go, because research shows that you have better chance of success at getting clean and sober when you are in your hometown. And so do we need to give people, have family that are willing to help? Do they need to go back to them for their best chance of success? So I think once we get a program, that a lot of the people from out of state or not in the area will leave voluntarily because it's not easy for them to live here anymore. So we are making it so easy. They get money, they get free food, they get free shelter, they get free sleeping bags, clothes. I see it. They leave stuff at my shop all the time because it's all free. So they don't care because they'll just go get another one for free, a new one. And when you get all this stuff for free, what is the incentive to get help, to work? There's actually none. And so I think a lot will they're drawn into our area, one, because of that horrible decriminalization of drugs that we did, which we're trying, the states changed. But they're coming here. They all have cell phones. They call each other. Hey, this is a great place to live. Come here, which is another reason I'm really hesitant about a giant complex of homeless. I think it will just draw people more into our community. So let's take care of our own. Let's make sure they get help. And then let's figure out what to do if you're not from here and not leaving.
I know there's been some outreach to the nonprofits, and I've heard it said here a couple of times here that some of the nonprofits are stepping forward. Which nonprofits, and what are they bringing to the table? And quickly, because I do have a phone call standing by.
There's a number of nonprofits. We had a workshop not too long ago, but I know Mint they may own that building at Parker. So they had asked for city money and the city did not give them that money. And then they stepped up and came up with their own money to buy that building. And so they're planning a navigation center and some other things there, which, you know, is great. I'm not crazy about the location. I really want to get all of these shelter navigation centers not in our main corridors downtown, but good for them. They did it with their own, funds and donations. And so they've stepped up. Of course, UCAN does a lot to prevent evictions to start with. On Track's building a new facility. U-Turn for Christ has a ranch. They help men get on a work program. So the Gospel Rescue Mission helps people. So there are a lot of great organizations.
But all those people have to want the help.
They have to want the help, and that's the problem.
We have a phone call standing by here. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guest today?
Yeah, this is a great discussion you're having, and I almost feel bad about changing the topic. And so if you don't want to change the topic, I'm fine with just...
Go ahead, Lord. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chuck. Yeah, I read that the our city manager is seeking a $40,000 raise this year. Is that an April Fool's joke? No, I don't think it is, apparently. So it seems like our city manager is fairly compensated right now with a salary and benefit package that's over $250,000 a year in a community where the average annual income is less than $40,000 a year or less than the amount of the raise that he's requesting. So we are regularly told that we don't have enough money to adequately fund police and fire or many other community needs, and we're also in a period of economic uncertainty right now. And so I'm just wondering, this hasn't really been discussed, publicly, I know. And, it seems like it just sort of magically appeared on the city's, consent calendar, for approval with no discussion. And I think wisely the city council chose to pull it off of the consent agenda and discuss it. So I don't know if they want to make any comments about it today or not, but it just does not seem like good timing. Seems to be that, in the private sector, performance and results are important. And we have some pretty big issues hanging over us right now that maybe we could look at a raise down the line when some of these big issues get resolved. That have been dragging on for years and years, and just a little input, and curious to know if our new counselors have any thoughts about that, or even want to address it today. So, thank you.
All right, thank you, Ward. Andrew, Seth, any comments?
I do have thoughts on that, and I think coming from a private sector point of view, when the economy is really bad. And you can't increase salaries for your own employees and perhaps even cut your own salary so your business will actually make it. I do have an issue that government across the board get increases all the time and oftentimes more than cost of living increases. So that's always been an issue for me. I was surprised by the numbers. I think I first saw them in the paper. Actually, someone sent me the article, and I was surprised by the numbers of the raises. So I definitely do not think it's a good time, and I am not, I will put that out there, I'm not for it.
All right, Seth, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was gone during that business meeting, but I did read the packet beforehand. So it was interesting kind of how it went down. But I will say I agree mostly with Indra on this topic. It is, it's hard, right? Because the money's got to come from somewhere. Doesn't just appear out of thin air. The only thing I would say moving forward, I would be interested in at least seeing is what does it look like for some of the entry level positions that are making, a fairly, low wage. What does it look like for them? I think we should hold off on some of the higher level positions within the city for now. Because again, cost of living and things, I know, I've known people personally that have worked at some of these entry level positions and it's tough, right? I mean, it's not a lot of money. So what does that look like? I'd be curious to see that.
I would also add, we want to hire the best people. We want to keep and retain our people. So you do have to look at that, and the cost of turnover is important in any business or company. But I know when they come up with compensation, they compare cities. So what the consultant, which I disagree that we probably needed to hire a consultant to do a comparison, but that's what happened. Some people aren't happy about that. But we're being compared to cities such as Lake Oswego because they have the same number of people approximately. Well, that's apples and oranges. Their wages are way higher than here. So I think you do need to look at where we live. And some of the cost of living or the increases mentioned are as much or more than many people here make in a year. And so it just doesn't look good.
All right, the budgetary process is one that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. It's well known that both the county and the city are facing budgetary shortfalls. I know the council is involved with the budgeting process. And also, it may call for some trimming of the budget, or trimming of personnel, or trimming of services. Is any of that on the table right now? Is there any insight that you can give us about what's going to happen with the budget here and what kind of revenues we're looking at?
We haven't really started the budget process yet, so I can't speak to that. And that'll be a really big learning curve for me, especially. But I know the council has stated that our priorities are public safety. So I would imagine that's going to be our budgetary priorities.
Did that come out of the goal-setting sessions? Have we done that yet?
We haven't done strategic planning
yet.
That is coming up, right? So we haven't.
How soon
done
is that?
That?
I was under the impression it was in March.
It was supposed to be in March, but it got postponed. And so that's coming up.
It's in two weeks, I believe.
April, yeah.
Okay, so at that point, you'll really, in your mind, what are the priorities? Is it still public safety? And understanding here that as professional as both the fire and safety and the Grants Pass Police Department are right now, both are understaffed.
Correct. So that is a priority, public safety for sure, and infrastructure, the two things the cities are supposed to provide for their residents. I know I hear people in our community don't feel safe, and everyone deserves to feel safe in their neighborhoods and on the streets and going to the stores at night, and it's iffy. So that is definitely a priority, safety for our citizens.
Housing, definite problem in Grants Pass in terms of if you're talking about economic expansion or bringing in other businesses, we've tried to bring in people before. They can't find a place to live, so they don't come.
Mm-hmm.
So what can the council do to alleviate that problem or to help that situation? Can't wave a magic wand. I wish you could.
Right, and this is kind of what I'm talking about when we're dealing with the homeless situation so much, and just other everyday things with the council where the wheels just turn so slowly, because I would really like to start tackling policies and rules and regulations. I think government, and I know a lot is state mandated, but what is our city mandating as far as building and planning that we can take away or reduce fees or costs? Or I think government should mostly get out of the way of building. And I think government impedes building. And so I would like to see a lot of that red tape cut, more timely building, less costly permits, less regulations. So I haven't even had a chance to really talk to people, experts in that area, because we do have a lot of experts in our town that deal with building and planning that could give a lot of advice and information, but haven't even been able to get to that yet.
I'm down to my last 4 minutes here. Yeah. So I want to first give you each a couple of minutes to tell your constituents out there what they should take away from today's program. Seth, we'll start with you.
Yeah. Like I said, thanks for having me on. You know, like I said, I'm an open door. So if anyone wants to know anything or sit down for a cup of coffee, I'd be more than happy to. You know, and I think moving forward, I just want everyone to know that I think this is a solid council. I think that we have a lot of things in line that, you know, we all can agree on, or at least come to an agreement and, you know, work together. So I have real strong faith in that. And so, you know, whether it comes to this injunction or the housing crisis that we're kind of in as well, or, you know, maybe some of the more interesting things, economic development and things like that, I think, you know, we all want to just, you know, make Grants Pass the best community that we can with our time on council.
All right. Thank you, Seth. Andrea, final 2 minutes.
And I would just echo that we took these positions on the council so that we could help make Grants Pass better. And I know we can't make everyone happy all the time. And sometimes we just make some people happy, but we are trying to work together, the council. We have a very thoughtful council that are thinking through the problems and ideas, and we will come up with things. I think I would just ask people, I know people are angry about the homeless situation, and it's just going to take more patience, unfortunately, and for us, we will just work together as a community. I think it's going to take, the council can't do everything. I think the community really needs to get more involved with the homeless situation. That's what I would encourage.
Andrea, Nicholas, thank you very much. Seth Benham, thank you very much. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We thank you for your ears.